Welcome back to First Edition here on WEAA 88.9, the second hour, the NWA Sports Report. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at First Edition 88.9, and don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook at First Edition on WEAA 88.9 FM. Go to WEAA.org on our homepage for the latest podcast of First Edition, or subscribe to our iTunes podcast, First Edition. Also, hit me up on my personal Twitter account. The tag is at Sean Yoes. That is my name. S-E-A-N-Y-O-E-S, or go to my Facebook page. If you have information, insight, or breaking news you want to share with me, I'll share with people unless you don't want me to, and of course, I will not. It's all about the NWA in the second hour of First Edition. Uncle Perry.
What's up, Yoes?
L. Crawford.
What's good?
Blanc.
What's happening?
Chief.
What's going on?
No.
Who?
We ended that last week.
Wait, who?
Let's not start this
chief.
Show again. Wait, can we start? Can we not start the show like this?
Who's the chief?
Wait. Listen, okay, so you missed this last week, okay?
Right.
No. No.
Dre's the chief?
No.
Yeah.
Self-proclaimed?
No, listen. The chief of the boards. Let's say it correctly. But we're going to say the time.
Did somebody give him this name, or Dre came up with
it? You're standing right next to him.
No, it was Mike Nice.
Oh, okay, I'm about to say.
It was actually Mike Nice who called him the chief.
Because if Perry don't slam him for calling himself the chief, you are a LeBron James hater.
He's the chief of the show. Somebody's got to run this show,
chief,
right, yo?
I see where this is going, Perry. Okay. I see where it's going.
Oh, Uncle Perry. So I watched. I didn't watch the game, but I watched the highlights of the game last night, Cleveland and Celtics. And you know what, Perry? You are one of my favorite conspiracy theorists of all time. But I must tell you, it really does look like. Like the league,
Dre,
is just absolutely.
Come on.
I mean, they are waiting for a coronation. I mean, this cat is. He just like, hey.
So what? So my thing to you, this is my thing. Like, you guys can't.
There was no resistance.
But I'm saying
no
you can't downplay that this is the LeBron era. Like this, like, you know, for the last, I think it's been the last what? You can almost say 7 years. Yeah. Like it's really has been, you know, the LeBron James era, and it's probably longer than that. It's probably been about since about 2007. Like it's not gonna get harder for him. It's going to get easier for him because he's dominating the league for so many years. You know, that's what you got to understand. So, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. The East is not going to contend with LeBron James. But, like, I think Dion Waiter said the other day, it's because LeBron James is beating everybody out of the East.
So they're basically going to go 12-0. They're going to go 12-0 into the championship.
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel
possibility?
That?
No,
possibility.
No, they are.
I see.
They are.
I think
last night was the one game I thought that Boston could possibly get. And
in Boston.
Yeah.
And they just looked.
They looked overmatched, overpowered.
Did they ever lead? I don't think they led at all. Not one time last night.
I don't remember.
No.
As far as the highlights is concerned. He went inside at will. It was, I mean, and all the plays that I saw, he wasn't even dunking the ball. He was clowning people and just throwing.
It was one play. It was one play. He literally turned his back on Kelly Olynyk and went straight to the hoop. It was, and like you said, it was no resistance. But I think the Cavaliers are just locked in. I think LeBron James has played possum all season. He made us really think that there were so many problems with the Cavaliers. Oh, we're struggling. Oh, you know, we need one more playmaker. We need this. We need that. This is the hardest year. And then, you know, basically what he was doing was he was resting himself through the regular season for the playoffs.
I mean, but no, he made some points, though, because he knew that, come on, Golden State had Kevin Durant. So he knew that the Cavs had to step it up if they wanted to repeat. And then this will be also three times that this team will be going to the NBA Finals. So you need all your ducks in a row to make sure that you're stacked against a team that could be favored against you, honestly.
He doesn't look like he has a worry in the world.
At all. And they honestly look like the number one team. Like, I feel as if them losing in the end of the season.
Kobe and the Lakers were number two seed a couple of times in their runs, you know.
I mean, but there was also the Spurs were in the era, too.
But they were number one.
No, Spurs and Sacramento. Yes, sir.
Crawford, I need you to confirm something for me, okay?
Yes.
Didn't I say, all right, as long as LeBron James gets his rest, okay, they're going to sweep through everybody. I said they could have went in there with the 7th or the 8th.
Perry has been
they
on
it. Went,
Curry's been on record saying that.
Eighth seed, okay? Now, remember when he was crying about he needed help and all of that and stuff? And I said, for what? You don't need to finish the
season. I remember that.
Number one in the NBA standings, and they didn't.
Right.
I think they actually strategized that, okay?
I feel like
they strategized to finish number two because they knew they wouldn't have to face Washington or Boston until the Eastern Conference Finals. And by that time, both teams will have beaten the crap out of each other, which is exactly what they did, okay? They beat the crap out of each other. And look at Boston last time. They looked like they didn't have no legs.
Yeah.
It looked like, I mean, they had wide-open shots, and they couldn't make them. Now, I think part of that is because they were tired. Mm-hmm. Another part is that they're scared of LeBron James. The only person that I think is not afraid of LeBron in the entire Eastern Conference is the young John Wall. Oh. That's why I wanted to see Washington against. No, I know Washington was going to beat them.
What?
Washington was going to beat them because this is NBA commissioner LeBron
James, all
right?
Is this the same John Wall that put up a dud in game seven? Well, I mean, he didn't show up. Don't get me wrong. He showed up. He showed up on the stat sheet, but when they really, really, really needed him, he was not there.
He didn't show up.
The crazy thing about it is Bradley Beal, for the last two games, kept the Washington Wizards into the game. He kept them in the game. No question, no ifs, ands, no buts. John Wall at the end of both games.
He hit the game winner to get us into game seven.
Exactly.
The reason why we were in game seven is because he hit the game winner. John Wall hitting that shot.
That's
the same thing that could be said about LeBron James throughout most of his career.
No.
Okay, he didn't start winning championships until he had a closer right there beside him. Not some young guy like Bradley Beal. But an official closer.
You talking about
Wade? D Wade.
So what games did D Wade close out in the playoffs?
D Wade closed plenty of games for them. Throughout the rest.
In the playoffs.
Okay?
Look. Outside of the Ray Allen jump shot, which was before that jump shot was a LeBron James 3. And then he closed out the Spurs with, what, 3 consecutive jump shots? I don't buy the notion that.
You remember the OKC series? What about his very first finals? D Wade was tearing them dudes up.
Who was the finals MVP?
James Harden, who didn't show up.
So LeBron would have been the finals MVP in that first series against Dallas.
John Wall would have been the finals. He would have been the Eastern Conference semifinals MVP.
Who does? What has that been award, Perry?
We're giving awards out for advancing in certain rounds, or are we worried about championships?
And that's the problem with you. That's the problem with you, Wizards fans. I told you, you're very lucky. I got held up in traffic and I didn't make the show, because what I was going to tell you is you really do not celebrate a game six, man. The confetti came down. They were tears in the eyes. They jumped on the table. We screamed. Don't come in my seat.
Honestly,
I had to check the calendar 4 or 5 times to make sure that there was indeed a game seven on Monday, and it was.
I was so mad about that, though.
You hate the Wizards, all right?
I know he hates the Wizards.
So I hate Steph Curry and the Wizards.
You might.
You don't even have
That's
a
possible.
Team. You don't support the local. You don't even support. I'm a Knicks fan.
Because I'm a professional, Perry.
I cannot like the Wizards.
You got to leave it to me, Perry, to be a professional on the show. I can't just pick my favorite team all day.
You don't have a favorite team, and yet you root against the team, the home team. I don't understand it. I really don't. I'm trying to figure that one out.
Let me bring.
You really don't like them.
Let me bring Ramos into the conversation. Mikel Ramos is here.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Well, okay, so loosely translated, people. What's the discussion? The discussion is the Wizards.
The discussion was actually how the Boston Cavaliers just blew through the Boston Celtics.
So what would you like me to start?
Well, Perry was trying to say that the only team that could stop the Cavaliers, or at least give them give them competition was the Washington Wizards.
Well, you know, for the first time in a long time, Brandon, and this is harsh to come by because I'm not used to this. I agree with Uncle Perry. I mean, first of all, I respect you, Brandon.
You're a
fan.
I'm a
pure fan of your work. However, this is the same man that said, I declare that the Wizards are gonna lose to Atlanta. You are the only person
man.
I know from PGDC that completely goes against the grain with that. But they should have.
I love the Nationals.
Atlanta didn't have anything to go for as far as competition against the Wizards. The Wizards had a shot to show America and give America just to give them, even if you're not going to give it to them, the respect. The issue with the Washington Wizards were,
they,
let's be real, the first two games.
Game six.
Why wouldn't you celebrate a game six?
These because people, you have a game seven.
Guess what? If everybody looked at that picture of everybody wearing black, that meme that was on social media, half the people that was in that picture wearing black talking about they coming to D.C. wearing a funeral, it's going to be a funeral. They weren't even starters. The only starter that was on that list was Isaiah Thomas. I behoove you to come in here and say to me, and I ain't even in the seat to say to me, oh, it's a funeral when I come in here and somebody might get hurt. Yeah, okay, guess what? I'm gonna send you back home and tell you to meet against me.
That was the wait.
Why would you not live?
That was the wait.
Why would
you
not live? Why would you not live to play another game? I don't understand the ideology behind anything you're saying, because if I'm in a position where somebody expects me to come in my home and beats me, and then you're gonna take this away from me, what makes you think I'm going to let you do that?
Ray-Ramos,
what makes you think I'm not going to get?
Ramos, look, I picked the Wizards to win.
I didn't change my mind because I was
on the bandwagon, and Alex told me, he said I shouldn't have never picked the Wizards to win. But I agree with Brandon. You don't celebrate too early, and they barely won that game.
You don't celebrate too early.
If John Wall doesn't hit that three,
you're home.
And for a second I was like, this is not going in.
But at the same time,
and
why can't you celebrate it? You're down to the wire in a game.
You thought that they just won the NBA finals.
Fellas, look at the overall picture of what the scene was.
Game six.
Wait a minute. Look at the scene that was the game six and the nationality of what was going on in the nation's capital at that time. I mean, granted, we talked last week about the scene of DC sports. You had a chance.
It lived up to it.
It's been 30 years since you've been in a game seven, 1979. So at this point in time, to give the fans
what they wanted, because y'all lost. This is a series
in its own right that was implicated on keeping the home court advantage alone. So at one point, no, you're not going to come in my home and beat me. You want to beat me, you're going to beat me in your home. Tisha at the same time. So I'm going to protect my home court. And no, if you come in here saying it was a funeral, it was a wake, you got to beat us first. Boston should have won that game. You're right to not let it go to the wire like that. But if I'm a star and I'm John Wall, let's be real. If John Wall wouldn't have hit that game, wouldn't have went in. Well, if nothing would have happened to even proceed to win that game, it's
okay,
game
but what about
six.
What about game seven?
Game
what about game
you
seven
right
though?
Celebrate.
Because but that's we're talking about in basically a week where we're getting on James Harden for not showing up, and then John Wall for turning into brick wall.
I don't expect that. I refuse to accept that. I like what you did there.
John Wall became brick wall.
But what I would say is, and the reason why I'm so harsh on the Wizards for, you know, celebrating a game six is because a lot of Wizards fans and even the Wizards players felt like they were the better team in the series. Number two, the Wizards felt like they should be up. They should have been up 2-0 and possibly sweep the Celtics because they blew 12 plus point leads. So my thing is, when you win a game six, you should be feeling like we shouldn't even be in this situation. Now we're gonna take care of business at game seven.
We should
not
be.
Only that,
no.
They had the best player in the whole series.
Wait a minute, fellas. We shouldn't be in this position. But guess what? We held it down and we proceeded to get to game seven. LeBron James, best player in the world. Okay, granted. If LeBron James comes at a brink of an elimination, everybody's like, "Oh my God!" Wait a minute. Give me a chance. He's on the brink of elimination, and he wins that game, and he wins Game Six, and he's hopping up and down and everything. That's to be accredited, because guess what? You did that for the people that were standing in them stands to not be able to have to go home undefeated.
Last year, when LeBron was in the finals, he was not hopping on tables celebrating because he won Game Six. He was worried about Game Seven.
We're not talking about the game. We're talking about the celebration.
Come on, Barry.
Hold on. Now, I remember LeBron James hitting a game winner in like game two or game three against the Orlando Magic and learned a valuable lesson. And he ran around the whole court.
Exactly.
Like he had just hit the game winner in the finals.
And
right?
What do you do? And Perry, what went on with that series? What happened to that series?
But what John Wall accomplished was something that Washington hadn't accomplished in decades, okay?
What?
They
go to a game
every
seven?
Time they face
yes.
A game
There's a whole.
Yeah, but, every time they play anybody in game six in home, it didn't matter if they was at home or on the road, they lost.
No,
Perry. So they did get over a hump. They did accomplish something. Now, they didn't accomplish everything, but they accomplished something. And John Wall didn't run around like LeBron James did. He jumped on a table and said
what?
This is my home. I'm not going home.
Don't ever come to my city wearing all black talking about a funeral.
That's not celebrating game seven. That's celebrating the fact that you defended your home.
No.
These clowns come in here wearing all black and embarrass you in your home.
I don't understand why you're having such an issue with that.
And the reason why I have an issue is because John Wall's words for himself was saying being in the second round of playoffs is not enough. So why do you celebrate a game six?
But you cannot predict that they were going to go to game seven. Game seven. Not a lot of people get to game seven. This was if you watch any of these playoffs, if you wanted Snoresville, this is purely what it's been. And if you wanted a pure series, this is the game. This is the series they gave it to you.
Yeah.
So to go to game seven, something you've never really done, and these are two teams, Boston and the Wizards, who obviously they're in these predicaments, but they don't look of these predicaments because they're not used to being in these predicaments.
They treat it like they weren't used to it. In all actuality, DC Rising or whatever the case may be,
they gave the city something to fight for. They get and at the same time.
We hear this about every game, DC sports
but
team.
You know what?
But that's something I wanted to mention.
Hold on, Evan. We got to go one at a time because you're talking over each other.
Ed Ramos, it's also another thing though. Like the Wizards, they had no. It's not just what the Wizards did. No team in the entire NBA playoff this year. It was 0-10. Okay, 0-10 when a team was facing elimination in their home, they got eliminated. So that was 0-10 times. This was the first time that any team this season in 11 tries had defended their home court in game six. They accomplished something here, okay? They didn't accomplish what they – but they're still young. They're a young team, baby steps here. We all know Crawford. You just hate the home team, man. That you just got to admit,
I love
man.
The Capitals.
And this is the same guy that goes and talks about Philly.
I love the Capitals.
You praise Philadelphia sports, but Philly ain't even in this conversation.
Let me ask you this. Is this sort of, though, what you all are talking about, is this sort of a generational thing? Because you would have never had – I don't know if you would have had a team like the Lakers back in the Showtime Lakers or maybe even the Bulls celebrating a game six. No disrespect. Hold on. That's not true at all. Then you name it, Perry. You name the time when you saw it.
All them cats, Magic Johnson, when they defended their home, when they made it to the game seven, they were happy after the game.
I'm not saying they weren't happy.
Don't listen to Crawford. Don't listen to me.
I'm listening to me. This is misleading you, okay? I'm listening.
No, they weren't celebrating like they won game seven. They celebrated.
Did confetti come down?
No, confetti did not come down.
Can I please?
If I can answer your question.
You can't lie to the people with confetti came down.
Can I please? What is the problem with that?
Confetti did not come down.
Hold on. Let me introduce Gravante into the conversation. Gravante, go.
What's up, fellas? Hey, Mr. Ramos.
Mr. Ramos.
What's wrong with it?
We do that after every home win.
No, we don't.
Yes, they do.
Literally every home.
Every home win. What's the problem with
this game? And I have not seen confetti.
In the playoffs, they do it.
Do you go to Wizards games?
Actually, I have.
Okay.
I cover the Wizards. How many you been to?
Because you're not a fan. Like, listen. They do that after every home win.
Listen. When you're in a series and you feel like you are the better team, you do not celebrate a game six that does not end the series.
You are in a war. You're in a battle.
You don't
what
do
is
it.
The problem with being happy that you won? I don't understand. First of all, this is a little bit deeper than
I think they're making it more than it's supposed
they
to be.
They are. Crawford just doesn't like DC teams, period, except for the Nets.
I like the Capitals.
Whatever.
How do you like the Capitals and they get bounced every year, but you don't like the Wizards?
And they didn't celebrate a game six, even though they got bounced.
But you don't know that.
Okay, let's. Ramos, and then we're going to change because this could go on forever. Ramos.
I think this is bigger than what you're making it because if you're asking a question of a generational thing, wait a minute, time out. Look at it this way. The Washington Wizards, if they were in the Eastern Conference Finals, now be real, they would be the better team to be able to give the Cavaliers a better go at whatever they were supposed to be. The Boston Celtics are a beneficiary of what went down against them in that Chicago series. Rajon Rondo does not go down. They are not in the semifinals, let's be real. And two, Boston is also a beneficiary of a late night pushback, late time pushback by the Cavaliers, which caused them to exceed into a number one seed that obviously they're not obviously the team to actually be in it to be the number one seed, because how are you playing the Cavaliers and you're the underdog in itself? So guess okay. what? What is the Boston Celtics
going to
do?
They're in the Eastern Conference Finals.
What is
how
the
are you going to knock Celtics? A number one seed in the Eastern
number one,
Conference
But
Finals.
They also are the underdog. Listen, if you play a game seven in anything, especially in the nation's capital, because I'm going to put the whole scene of that. 1979 is the last time that city seen anything of anything from the basketball court as far as something exceeding the highest expectation. I don't care what you say about what fans should be and the expectations.
The fans can celebrate.
Guess what I'm going to do every year? I'm going to celebrate a game six. You know why? Because at the end of the day, everybody was expecting the Wizards to lose that game. Everybody was waiting for them to go into that game and let them down again. And guess what didn't happen? That game was not let down. You went to game seven. The disgrace is that whole finals was predicated on the home court, and they couldn't win on the road.
That's unfair.
I just got here, and the segment has to end. That's unfair.
We have another segment, Cravante.
What's going on? He's just a hater. That's why I don't appreciate him over there. He's just a hater. Like, I don't understand.
People
are saying we're going to lose
it's
since
not Wizards
the playoff before
right.
the playoffs even started.
Just admit it.
We were supposed to lose to Atlanta.
Right? He's just a hater, man.
And declared it.
Oh, my gosh.
So you're going to lose to the Hawks.
Come on, Brandon.
Y'all have problems admitting, man. I admit that I don't like LeBron James, okay?
You do. Okay?
We know that. It's clear. Okay. You made that very clear. Like, why?
No. The issue is you guys have a tendency to overvalue DC sports teams. That's really what the issue is.
It's called being a sports fan. It's called being a sports fan.
On that note,
it's called being a fan.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the Western Conference of the NBA. We have exhausted all references to the Wizards at this point. I don't know what else to say. I mean, what else can you possibly say? Crawford is a man alone. He's a man on an island. Come back. More NWA Sports Report. Stay tuned. A particularly raucous NWA Sports Report. The debate is hot and heavy over DC sports. We are not going to resolve it during this half hour.
It's never going to be resolved.
It's never gonna be
I'm content with that.
It will. It seems that it will never be resolved. let me do a reset. Uncle Perry is with us by phone. El Crawfo, the besieged El Crawfo, is in the studio. Blanc is in the studio.
Hello,
Cravante man. Is in the studio.
Yo.
The Chief is in the studio.
Who?
I'm the board.
Ooh. Yeah. Is that that's the end of it? That's the end of it. Okay. Okay.
Let me get my 15 seconds. Not even 15 minutes. Just
and Ramos is in the studio as well. We're moving on to the Western Conference. We're moving on to the Western Conference.
Snoresville over here?
San Antonio is down to.
It's over.
Is it over?
It's over.
Kawhi Leonard.
What'd I tell you?
It's unfortunate.
I don't think it's necessarily
what
over.
What I tell you about the Spurs?
It's not necessarily over yet.
Raquel, don't do that. Please don't do that, because it was about 20 before he got injured.
Yeah, and with or without him.
No, we got
to wait. We have to win that game.
It's the Warriors.
No, we have to wait to see if Leonard comes back game three.
He should.
Hopefully
comes back game three, and we got to see where they're at the end of game three.
At this point.
I mean, at the end of the day, like I keep trying to tell you, the series does not start until you win. On the road.
So the Wizards and Celtics series never started.
Exactly.
That never started.
That was such a disgrace to me, that whole home court. You lose the same team 10 times in their home, something's wrong with that. But anyways.
No, that's not fair. That's not fair.
I don't even think at this point, I'm not dead man walking it, but at the same time, do you bring Kawhi Leonard back and risk him rolling another ankle? I mean, he left the other series. He left Houston. Then he comes back and retwists it again. You're trying to resurge the team that obviously is kind of lost without him. Do you, if you go down, what? If either he cannot play or they go down 3-0, the season's just a wipeout.
Ramos,
you might as well let
the
him
minute
let him
he's
sit.
Ready, you put him out there.
Thank you.
It's not 3-0 yet.
I think you risk letting him get hurt again. I mean, at this point, everybody was so happy that he could come back.
It's 2-1 right now, right?
It's 2-0.
It's 2-0.
Kawhi Leonard, he's coming back. He's coming back.
And
it was a good thing.
What, he has 3 days
left? He got
hurt
again.
Yeah. So
and they don't play till tomorrow.
He should be.
Because there's no games tonight. They don't play until tomorrow.
Thank you. Well,
honestly, I just feel like the West is just there. It's even worse in the West. I feel like they're gonna cruise through them rather than because it looks easy for them too. And honestly, I don't really see him coming back 100%. And even if he let ankle, he's a ticking time bomb.
But see, one thing you gotta understand. Another thing, like in the playoffs, the your bench normally plays better at home. So now the Spurs. I mean, I'm saying normally.
Watch that Wizards
Spurs, game. No, I'm saying, but normally your bench. The Wizards didn't have a bench.
Especially the Spurs. The Spurs and the Warriors have probably the best two benches in the NBA.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
But the Spurs bench. I mean, did you see what they did to the Rockets at Game 6?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I'm
without
saying,
Kawhi at all.
What I'm saying.
They beat by 40.
What I'm saying is Golden State is a great team. So. But you have to give Popovich and the Spurs at least game 3 to see where they're at. It wouldn't be wise to count them out because you never know. Pop might turn the air conditioning off. He might ice the floor. Pop might butter the ball up. You never know. It's like I'm sure he's got something.
No, cooking, my, especially after that.
Yeah,
break.
My issue is Kawhi Leonard's health. And LaMarcus Aldridge is not that guy. He is not that guy just at all.
Well, one thing I can say about. Even in when they closed out the series against the Rockets was when they head into a game, what I see about that team is when they go into a game knowing that Kawhi is not playing, it's a different team. Because going into that game, he knew that Kawhi wasn't going to be there, so he knew he had to be that guy. And he literally rose to the occasion of being that guy.
But people forget, the Oracle's not an easy place to win.
I mean, of course.
Once
they make a couple threes and that crowd starts going, I mean, it could turn south 30 points.
And all right, so you'll be down by 25 by the time the first quarter end.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a shame that you have to know that he's not going to play the whole game to step up. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're the number two guy wishing you were number one guy, you need to be ready at all times. And as soon as Kawhi Leonard went down, there's no way 25 points should have disappeared like that. Of all teams that would happen to, it would be the Warriors that would cut it down because they have so many great shooters. But I feel like it shouldn't have happened like that.
In the third quarter, I feel like it shouldn't happen.
Go ahead, Ramos.
Let's be real. LaMarcus Aldridge was one of the biggest free agents at one point, and him going to the Spurs was supposed to be the annihilation. Well, to a degree, him going to the Spurs was supposed to be something that was more of a futuristic looking at a point. If Kawhi Leonard and him together was supposed to be the next level to do whatever they were supposed to do, LaMarcus Aldridge is not that guy in the Spurs uniform. If anything, if Kawhi Leonard goes away, LaMarcus Aldridge is supposed to be that second option. He's supposed to be the guy that kind of sort of is able to have the younger legs to propel them. Because let's be real, the Spurs lose in the playoffs because of a lack of younger legs. I mean, whatever Popovich schemes come up to play, you can't never count them out. I understand that conversation, but at the same time, Oklahoma did what they did last year to them because of the younger legs that were in process to be able to do that, and that became too much. Then when you come again this year, let's be real in the playoffs the last couple of years, guys. Like, I understand the conversation of the Spurs, and you never know what Popovich is going to do, and you can never count the Spurs out or anything else like that. But in the same matter, they do fall, and they fall in this time period.
Well, what I would say, Ramos, is, I mean, yeah, but at the same time, you just have to know that we saw for a fact. One thing we do know, this Spurs team is a completely different team with Kawhi Leonard there. But one thing, I think Patty Mills has to run the team. I mean, they're lacking a point guard that's running teams that's able to get people shots. You can't just – LaMarcus Aldridge has never really been a player where you can just throw it down and go.
Exactly.
Normally, you know, he does pick and pops. He does, you know, pick and rolls. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, they're kind of leaving him on the island and asking him to essentially be Kawhi Leonard. And I don't think he's ever been that part.
Uncle Perry, come on in.
He was dead important. You could throw him the ball and he can get any shot he want in the midcourt, okay? Now, Greg Popovich is going to have to readjust his offense, and I know he will do that. But without Kawhi Leonard, Golden State advances. And let me tell you something right now. I'm going to go out here on the bold claim, okay?
Yeah,
all right, Yost, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready, Perry.
Cleveland and LeBron James, and this is for LeBron James' legacy, okay?
Okay.
Because I told you, he's the commissioner of the league. He's going to make it if he gets his legacy up.
Shot one.
Cleveland will become the first team ever to go 16-0 in the postseason, okay? The only other team that came close was the Los Angeles Lakers when Shaq and Kobe was there. And you know Allen Iverson got in the way of that, okay?
Right.
He got that one win to stop it.
So
but
you
LeBron James will accomplish it, and that's going to try to give him more, a little bit more of his resume, to try to put him up there with Jordan. And we know he doesn't belong in that conversation with Jordan. We know that, yo.
We know.
And yo, they call me the
hater.
Young
guys out here don't know that. Wow. Younger generation don't know that. All they see is LeBron. All right?
the different thing with these Perry, though, is he's a known hater. He admits his hateration. You, on the other hand, try to find all these professional schemes and leeways to try to tell people what you ain't.
Let's unpack what Perry just said, though. Perry is saying that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to go 16-0, meaning they're going to sweep every team all the way through the finals.
They're going to sweep the Golden State Warriors.
So, the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to sweep the Golden State Warriors, according to Uncle Perry.
So, wait, that would mean he's going for them in the finals. That would mean that he's rooting for LeBron in the finals.
I'm not rooting. Hey, I know. Heck no. I'm going to be rooting against it. Look, I'm rooting for Boston.
Because he does this with the Ravens.
I'm rooting for Boston right now. But
he does it all the time.
What's going to happen, okay? This is me. I'm separating my fanhood from my professionalism, okay?
Oh, gosh.
There we go. Listen,
you asked me as a professional. Like I told people,
you know, before this playoff series started, I think Brad Stevens, he's an exceptional coach, and I think that he's going to get one. And, you know, and I think people are shocked, and I'm thinking that's going to be game two. This next game, I think the Celtics will come out, and they probably will win this game. They'll probably steal it. But I think this still will be a breeze series.
Brandon.
You got to look at the disparity. Off 9 days, 10 days. You just played the game Monday.
No, but to his point, you can't put all this in game one. But we've seen Cleveland. I remember we was here in the studio kind of late, and we was watching the Celtics and the Cavaliers, I think, one of the last few games of the season.
This is when they were fighting them for the number one seed.
Right, and they still fight. The Celtics just don't have it.
Literally, it was a primetime game, and they couldn't show up. So this team is getting swept, but they're not. The Cavaliers are not going 16-0. It's probably going 7 games once the finals hit.
To go with Dre and Cravante said, like if you watch the series Boston was in, it was two teams that you could tell weren't used to being in the positions that they were in. Like Boston is the number one seed, but they don't have the mindset, the know how, the will of they're learning on the go, as it looks like. And this is and you're the underdog against the Cavaliers, and you're the number one seed. Yeah, why do you have to go? Why do you have anything to go into improve at this point in time? Which means that a lot of people didn't believe that you deserve number one spot, a lot of people don't believe that you are adequate. Enough to actually be that team that is in the top seed.
Well, and I feel like something that you could take away from the Wizards series is that literally the reason why they beat us is because of a lack of a front court and a bench that the Wizards, and you can see that because Kelly Olynyk came out and torched us.
Who are you?
Olynyk came out and torched us. 26 points. He was averaging like 12 points throughout the season, and he came out and he torched Gortat.
No, he averaged nine
points. And he came out and torched us. That doesn't happen. But the thing about it is, you see that depth within Cleveland's roster.
Well, the reason why Olynyk was able to do that in a game seven, a lot of people don't realize.
Do it in the game seven.
Brad Stevens kind of played. He matched up with Scott Brooks. What people don't realize is, for the first time in that series, the Celtics only played 8 players. And what happened was the Wizards played, you know, 7. They both kept the kind of lineups kind of tight until the fourth quarter. And that's when Olynyk came in. He was fresher. Everybody else on that court from the Celtics and the Wizards were dog tired. You saw Morris and Wall literally walking out the threes with their hands up. Kelly Olynyk looked like the freshest guy on the court.
And Scott Brooks threw that game.
I don't know why he didn't play Oubre, but there's been rumors that he's hurt. You know, there's been a lot of rumors that, you know, his knee is messed up.
It's game 7.
What they're saying. They're saying the MRIs, knee, but I don't know why they didn't play Uber.
Everybody's talking all this with the Wizards this, what if for that. Look at it this way. And I understand it's not looking at the bright side. I mean, people don't like to look at the end of the tunnel, the bright side of the future. At the end of the day, when it comes to the Eastern Conference, it's not the Cavaliers and everybody else at this point in time. There's another team. There's other teams that are going to continue to rise in this Eastern Conference, and the Wizards have shown everybody that you can't pay attention to them. John Wall, if you've been waiting for him to be a superstar, he is now legitimately a superstar in this league, and everybody's paying attention. Everybody knows what he's capable of doing and propelling the team. So at some point, there's some missing pieces. You can come around the corner, and we look in this free agency. You get some type of veteranship or somebody.
And let Gortat go.
We broke.
He said he doesn't want to come back.
We broke.
So,
let him go.
I mean, get some type of veteranship, propel this bench, move forward. Scott Brooks, arguably one of the best coaches of the year. Look what he did to John Wall and Bradley Beal, two players that were at odds before this season started. So come on.
I agree with half. It's still Cavs and everybody else. But there are teams rising, but it's still Cavs. See, Cavs are still head and shoulders above everybody else.
But a lot of people, don't understand is that everybody else's are really close. Like, you people don't understand that Indiana probably would have went a lot further if they weren't matched up with the Cavaliers in the first round.
Give or take a couple of threes that would have went in.
Yeah, like they actually played the Cavaliers, even though I think LeBron and them was still playing around. But a lot of those games were close. You know, a lot of those games. We were C.J. Miles.
We were
C.J. Miles jumper away from Cavs being down 0-1.
Man, they were breezing, C.J. Miles.
He missed it. No, I'm just saying he missed a shot. Right, he missed the game winner.
Exactly.
But I'm just saying they breezing, man. They was breezing.
All right,
what else? His name is C.J. Miles.
What else are we talking about? I mean, there's got to be more than the NBA.
I mean, Tom Brady's wife said that he had a concussion during the season.
Wow, you find a way to put Tom Brady in something.
Wow.
No.
Let's talk about BBB, baby. Let's talk about how the fact that, LeVar Ball totally.
I actually saw that. I actually saw that live.
I want to get to that in a minute.
I want to hear Ramos' take. I want to hear Perry, you set it up.
You set it up.
Yeah, I want to hear about because LeVar Ball, and you got into, what's this lady named, Christine Leary or something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's a nobody in the industry, right?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Here we go. She came right at, all right? And she came right at LeVar Ball, and he held his ground. Now, I would love to hear from a woman's perspective. Okay, but because right now the headlines are going crazy. You got a lot of these major headlines are saying that he threatened her, which he didn't. Okay, that he disrespected her, which he didn't. You know, and she disrespected him. Okay, and he held his ground. So I would love this to hear.
So there was a female reporter who went in on LeVar Ball. I mean, is that how it transpired?
Well, Perry. The show before he came on or last month or something, she was going in on saying that, even like kind of saying that he was abusing his son. You know, she was saying that Alonzo was terrified of his father. Wow. And, you know, he was, like, every time, you know, he said something, like one sentence, and then he looked at his father, you know, kind of basically insinuating that it was some type of abuse, you know, whether it be verbal or mental.
Spengali-like control, mind control.
Right.
Okay. And he said that he was scared of her and he didn't want to make eye contact with her. It was crazy.
But ultimately, Ramos.
Stay rolling first.
What actually?
It helps. It helps.
Ramos.
See that?
Gotta roll it.
Ramos. So what's your take on it, Ramos? I'm trying.
As a female reporter, you gotta learn how to stand your ground, draw a line. It's reminiscent of, reminiscent of what happened with Richard Sherman. If Richard Sherman doesn't make that play, the San Francisco 49ers are going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And everybody watched sports to watch the animal, and you watch for you. If you a Ravens fan, you don't care about Ben Roethlisberger if he lives tomorrow. You want Ray Lewis to take him out. And even as a fan sitting in front of that TV. So when he brought that to America, America couldn't deal with it. But I also felt like Aaron Andrews didn't also paint the picture to make that okay. Because that's what you watch football for. She stood there and kind of was like, oh my God, it made him look like a gorilla. When me personally, I'm asking you, so what did Crabtree say to you all this week? What's going on? Because there was a bigger story and a bigger implication behind that. I feel like when you talk about children, And I guess this is sometimes the emotional aspect of being a woman that probably shouldn't have been brought into the area. But we work in a dominated sports where you kind of sort of have to leave those emotions at bay. You have to bring the emotion and show the heart in sports, but you got to leave yours out of it. I think she took her personal inhibitions out on him besides getting the actual point. I'm not a LeVar Ball fan. On one end, I think it's ease on down the road, yellow brick road, Joe Jackson, and he's tearing down the emotional aspect of his son. I think to a degree, when you look at LeVar, I mean, when you look at Alonzo Ball, and I purely saw it in that first take episode, you see a father that's totally enjoying being able to relish in the fact that there's a reason why he's in this spotlight. Lonzo looked unenthused. When they asked him a couple of questions, he would turn his back. He had his hands folded up. This was totally the LeVar Ball show. But at the same time, let's be real. This is a guy that showed Nike, Under Armour. Oh, wait, well, first of all, LeBron James didn't even have a contract. But he had a $90 million contract before he even stepped on the court. LeVar Ball said, forget Nike, forget Under Armour. I'm gonna make my son. I'm not only gonna make you pay attention to me. I'm gonna make you pay attention to my son, which you didn't even pay attention to before he was even mentioned him before I even went off, and I'm gonna build a brand out of him before anybody else can try to come to me and tell me what implications they're gonna give me and stipulations they're gonna give me to make me build a brand. On two ends, you have to understand the perspective of the whole thing. But in order to be a good reporter and something that, as a female, you could be respected. One thing, I was in the NABJ convention, and I don't know if y'all remember, Lisa Salters was being honored, and she said, Kobe Bryant came up to her one time, you know, I respect you because you always keep it fair and you always keep it real. And to a degree, when I step up to you with that microphone and I ask you a question, I want you to give me the same results that you would give a man standing in front of you. And for her to get that compliment from one of the greatest players that ever played, that's a big one. And this reporter lost that credibility.
What I would say with her to the reporter, what the lady was trying to do was she was trying to throw gasoline on the fire to get, you know, more reaction out of him. But what she didn't anticipate that, you know, LeVar Ball doesn't play around with these guys. You know, when he gets in front of the room, you know, he got the jokes, the comeback jokes, and he got the ability to basically, you know, stifle you and shut you down. So I think when she was caught off guard. And, you know, and then she was trying to spin it back on LeVar.
What's her name again? Say her name.
I think it was, what was it? Perry Lee.
Christine. She's basically the Tommy Lauren of sports, right?
The who, I mean, of sports? You're
familiar Tommy Lauren. Tommy Lauren.
Bold statement. That is a bold statement, Perry.
I mean, she is. I mean, first of all, she's the sidekick to Colin Cowherd. Okay, he's already made several racist comments. Specifically towards John Wall.
He hates him.
He's been on John Wall's back for about 7 years straight. Every year he says something that's controversial. He talks about how John Wall is not a leader. He can't be a leader of a franchise because he had a rough childhood. I mean, come on. I mean, he said that several times. He didn't just say that before he entered the NBA. He just said it back in 2015. That was two years ago. And then he said something this year, like 2 weeks ago, when it was poorly timed because then John Wall went and hit that game winner. And everybody was looking at Colin Cowherd like he's stupid. Like, why are you stupid? I mean, who is the guy? Bill Simmons. You know, he's a renowned sports columnist. He even made Colin Cowherd apologize. He made him feel so bad that he had to apologize.
Yeah,
the apology wasn't sincere at all. But he made him feel so bad about it. He's like, look, man, when are you going to drop it? Just get off his back, man. You've been unfair to him. And Colin Cowherd's like, man, look, man, you kind of bum-rushed me with this. You know what? I'm sorry. You know, but it's terrible, and she's his sidekick. So what do you expect? She's the Tommy Lauren of sports right now, man, and somebody's got to speak up about it.
All right,
so if I got to do it, then hey, I got to do it.
All right,
the point of asking a question is to evoke emotion.
Yeah,
but at the same time, look at it this way, look at what LeBron recently his comments were about Charles Barkley. Right. Mm-hmm. Say what you want about Charles Barkley, but what he evoked was emotion through facts. If I'm going to say something to you, especially being a female in this industry, and I hate the sexist attitude about it, but especially being me, I'm going to have to make sure if I go for the harsh reality of what my question implies, I might have to be prepared for what has come back to me.
Exactly.
And if you respect it, I mean, LeBron said what he had to say about Charles Barkley, but at the end of the day, to most people, you respect Charles Barkley because most of what he stated, if you can evoke that kind of emotion, came from a standpoint that was factual, actual. Yeah. This girl just sounded like kind of, sort of.
Sound like a goofy.
She was ranting. Like.
Yeah.
Ranting versus having an interview with somebody. Yeah. I mean, to me personally, I would have asked him, If you feel this way about him, the question is to ask, what do you think America really feels about you?
The issue is, and like, you know, we've talked about this for like a couple months ago, LeVar Ball has a plan. You know, he has a plan, and he doesn't care how it looks or how it makes people feel. But like I was saying, you know, a lot of people are not going to like that plan, and they're going to attack, you know, and he's doing a good job of keeping it in front of him and off his child because people are attacking him. But like I said,
it's only a matter of time
before they're going to get to Alonzo. Because they're going to look and they're going to say, oh, LeVar Ball's strong. Let's go get Alonzo. And they're going to start nitpicking it and really going after Alonzo. I caution him. Don't get me wrong. And I agree, you know, to a certain extent what Perry's saying, you know, you kind of want your father to have that type of, you know, support behind you and that kind of plan. Because don't get me wrong, he's acing the plan. The plan is working. You know, even though it's $495 shoes.
Whether you love him or hate him, you're going to pay attention to the balls whenever they're going to get in the news.
They're not going anywhere anytime soon.
But at the same time.
And
I feel like
when LaMelo, and let me tell you something, because LaMelo Ball is just like his father.
Yeah.
He's outspoken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be fun to watch him. It's going to be fun to watch him.
That's the youngest one.
But you know what? But you know what? The thing is also, guys, with all this branding and everything that's going on with LeVar Ball, the thing about it is, I mean, we've lost a sense of Lonzo. If Alonzo had complete and total control of his career, Lonzo would be walking into these meetings.
But I think Alonzo.
That's the point.
I don't think Alonzo wants to.
Exactly. But at the same time, like, we've gotten so much involved in his father that up until the draft, we just reminded ourselves who Lonzo was. But now we have to pay attention. Well, exactly. Now we have to pay attention to all this extra stuff. And then once we get into the season and what becomes of Laker Nation, if he becomes a part of it, and wearing that badge of honor is big enough alone. Not a lot of people can put on a Laker jersey.
Ramos, I think he'll do fine.
He does something wrong.
I think the issue is, what is going to be in the locker room when his father makes that first outspoken of that 5-game losing streak? When his father, you know, when they ask him what's going on with the Lakers, and he starts calling them players out by name, and you know, saying this person's messing up.
That's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem.
And how long? That doesn't seem sustainable.
It does. And they're going to say, we want to speak to your son because he's an NBA player now.
First thing they're going to do is ban him. You know, that's and we saw that with RG. I mean, with RG3 and his father. You saw how the first thing they did, they got his parents up out of there. They told him, you know, they revoked their access to the fields and to the facility. That's what's going to end up happening to LeVar Ball. Now, the question is Alonzo Ball strong enough to stand on his 2 feet? His own 2 feet?
No, it's apparent not. And America saw that. The question is,
but the kid's not going to get banned because look, his son was at UCLA and he didn't intervene at all. Okay, he allowed his son to go and do his thing. I don't think Lonzo Ball is getting forced to do anything that he doesn't want to. I think he wants to. He's just not as outspoken. But I think he agrees with the plan. He wants to do everything that his family is doing. Okay, he's just not the type to go out there and talk a whole lot of trash. It's just not his personality. But I don't think he has a problem with his father at all.
How do you feel about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's comments, though?
What were his comments?
I mean, because, you know, UCLA, you know, all that type of stuff. He basically said, and I forget the legendary coach there, but he said,
John Wooden.
Yes, in this day and age, Wooden would not put up with LeVar Ball.
No, I think a lot of coaches are not.
I mean, no question. And, especially back then.
And it was a matter of education first. You know, Wooden wants them to get education. Like, there was a total different implication back to that old school style would not have been. UCLA didn't even.
But you got to understand, Ramos, UCLA essentially sold their soul to LeVar Ball. I mean, he has three sons that had guaranteed scholarships to UCLA. Already. So I'm pretty sure he's telling them, you let me say what I want to say and do what I want to do. Well, my boys are not coming.
And you know what? You know what? Who cares what John Wooden would have allowed or not? Look, LeBron James didn't care what Pat Riley would have allowed.
Oh, my goodness.
Here we go. What did that have to do with what I said?
Wait, how do you throw LeBron in here? Wait,
I don't get it.
I'm just saying, who cares what John Wooden would have allowed, man? Who cares what some old white man would have allowed? You got black people empowering themselves right now. We can't be caring about what other people would approve of 30, 40 years ago. Who cares?
Well, he's actually pink, according to you, Perry.
Yeah, he's khaki.
Yeah, well, there you
we
go.
Don't have calls on that? I'm surprised.
You see color now, Perry?
I'm trying to fit in now. Maybe, you know, because standing out ain't working, right? You know, I try to call us the right colors, the accurate colors, and everybody laughs at me, yo.
Well,
maybe I should just go back to the old black and white narrative.
Probably would work.
Nope.
Especially when you're putting out new colors like khaki and pink.
But one thing I can say is the number's going up. It started off as a $1 billion shoe deal. Now he's asking for $3 billion. So the marketing scheme.
$3
billion? $3
billion.
For the whole brand.
But he's building something.
Beautiful. Because I like he should have started with that one.
No, but eventually I think it's going to be other kids that are going to eventually be on the baller brand that's not going to be a size. I think, you know, you're going to have people that go through the
chain. And at that point, you're establishing.
When you say he's got a plan, he's got a plan.
I mean, then at that point, you're establishing your own brand.
He even said from how he picked his wife. It was the plan.
He said
everything was
everything was a plan.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
But one thing
and,
I can say,
and he said we had to say to the other reporter, and then just kept it. I don't feel like it was disrespectful at all. He just said we had to say, and he kept it with me and Colin. Colin Cowherd.
Yeah.
And that's all it was. I don't know why this whole disrespect thing, and they're making a big deal.
If she didn't want it, she shouldn't have went and got it.
That's what I'm saying. She stepped out there and she ain't want it.
The minute she couldn't handle it, she played the victim role. It's how I feel.
That's how she flipped it. He even pointed out, he even said, oh, see how she flipping it? It's... That's how it is. Perry, you can't beat him. Play the victim.
Perry, what were you gonna say?
I'd say when they call that white privilege, yo, isn't that what they call that?
It's possible. It's very possible.
I think so.
Especially think so, the mess she was talking about previously, a couple months ago, about him and his kids. Yeah. You never come at a man's kids. That's what
much well, you never he's do. He's been one to come at other people's kids.
Can I say one thing?
Take your wins with your losses.
Don't ever celebrate a game six.
That is going to be the last.
We're not
going to
celebrate you.
Celebrate a win.
WA Sports.
We celebrate a win.
Celebrate a loss. Let's just celebrate a loss.
We celebrate wins.
The editor of the Afro, sports editor for the Afro, El Crawfo, Blanc,
yo,
Cravante, the Chief,
yes,
of the board.
Roll with Ramos.
Thank you, Alex. If you weren't here,
roll with Ramos.
Ramos, thank you all. We appreciate it. That's it for us. That's it for First Edition. It is a production of WEAA. The show is produced by executive producer Sean Yo's, associate producer Iorio Digizua. Our First Edition interns are Isaiah George, Wyman Jones, Kristen West, Janelle Ferguson, Alex Blanc, Deja Braggs, Jonathan Williams, Miracle Chukwukaize, Drew Mitchell, and Valentin Davis. Stay tuned for the podcast mashup. This week we will feature two episodes from the local colored podcast, episode Walker Mash and episode C. Harvey. Next, right here on Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I am Sean Yo's. Peace.